My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I did too. A lot of people saw it.
Yeah.
And a number of my guys that, you know, I'm on these text threads with were all like, what's going on? They want to know.
They
like,
wanted
the
to
low down. They wanted to understand why the decision was made. And I said, I can't answer that. They were so tied into what he was doing and the whole, and really, and again, the whole long snapping community is probably up in arms over this.
Right. I mean, it was shocking. Shockwaves. Throughout the long snapping community.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Trade deadline day, 6 p.m. tonight. Yankees and Mets obviously involved. They've made some trades. Those trades have been impactful so far. I think the biggest one left out there is starting pitching, if you're thinking from a Mets standpoint and a Yankees standpoint at this point as well. And Blake Snell is that big name out there. I don't think either the Yankees or Mets are going to get Blake Snell. I think if one team does, it will be the Yankees. I think they're going to be a little bit more aggressive, as we talked about, for what it means this season for them. And I know a lot of Met fans are talking about, you know, it doesn't really matter the expectations. You're in this position now. You can't let these opportunities go by the wayside. But you got to be able to find a way to do both, which is to compete, do the best you can, and not trade away prospects and the future foundation of this organization. And that's exactly what David Stearns is thinking. So we will see. Hopefully it's a little more action today. But, man, I tell you, Jazz Chisholm has been the energy and the spark plug the Yankees needed with two home runs last night, apparently with Aaron Judge's bat.
Well, how about the fact that you had the Brewers, the Braves, and the Dodgers all refortify yesterday? And the Braves brought back two of their players, Jorge Soler being one of them.
That's right.
And, you know, these teams are all going 100 miles an hour. The Astros bolstered their rotation with Kikuchi.
Yep, Kikuchi.
And you have, I mean, you have every, it's amazing how much has happened. You know, there was a couple of baseball writers that were thinking that this was going to be kind of like a dead trade deadline.
It's been the opposite of that.
It's a complete opposite of that. So this is an arms race right now. There's one arm out there, and he's going to be pitching for somebody. The question is it going to be somebody in the NL East or the AL East? You know, it's the last thing that, you know, I could see the Phillies trying to add him. Especially with the way that Wheeler got lit up last night.
I know. Something's got to be going on there. Don't you expect an IL stint from him right now?
It feels that way.
Yeah.
You know, usually what happens, maybe he's got a tired arm or something. Maybe put him down for, you know, put him down.
Like put him down. Maybe take him to the vet. Put him down.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, this is, for us, we get off the air, things start happening.
Yes, and that's
so
exactly
everything we're doing right now is doing what we normally do, and that is try to predict where we think guys are going to end up.
Speculation.
But here, you know, here's the thing. I said yesterday that, you know, David Stearns, who by all accounts is basically out of the media firestorm, doesn't seem to interact with anybody, sits in his office and looks at who's available, what's going on. He's got an owner, you know, who spent a lot of money who aren't players aren't here any longer. And all of a sudden they got a competitive team. And I said yesterday, you know, they do owe it to the players that have got this team back into the competitive part of the season, and they owe it to the fans. The fans want to see a winner. I know the bigger picture is, okay, we got to build this team for the future. Hey, screw the future, man. I'm going to win now. But that doesn't mean you got to trade, as you were saying, your top five prospects for Blake Snell.
No, I mean, you're not doing it.
And David Stearns is trying to do what he did, what he did in Milwaukee. And you're trying to put Band-Aids on things here and there. And I think for the most part, you know, they're competitive. I think a lot of it has to do with the players themselves, first and foremost. The manager deserves some credit for this. And, you know, the manager knows how to manage against the Yankees.
No, that's certainly for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
He's got the secret sauce, my man.
4-0. So I am guilty of seeing this headline on something that our WFANX account put out there and not watching the clip because I couldn't watch the clip because of the topic. Not because I don't like Evan and Tiki and all the guys, but the topic made me just have to scroll past it. Apparently Evan threw out there. Now I'm just saying I didn't listen to it, so I should probably listen to it even before I bring this up, but it just reminded me. Evan apparently pitched an idea for the Mets to go out and get a starter. That starter's name?
Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Did you watch it?
Yes. I voted no. I just voted no.
What?
I voted in his...
Oh, he had a poll?
He had a poll.
I mean, there's no way you can bring that loser back in here. I hated him as a Met.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of my least favorite Mets in recent memory.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just a sports talk discussion, and they did a good job discussing it. And,
okay. So you don't think that Evan really believed you wanted Max Scherzer?
Well, I don't know. You know, Evan's trying to create content just like we are every morning, and okay. I would think that...
So not a real take, you're saying?
No, I think it's a real take. I'm like you.
Because I don't want it to be a real take.
No, I don't want it. No, the take that he was having is if you're a Met fan, are you for it? Would you go for it? Would you accept them back? And, you know, my point is, I was thinking to myself as I saw it, is no.
All right. So
I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Well, I mean, who did?
Somebody did.
I don't think anybody lost sleep over it.
We just spent 3 minutes talking about it.
Well, that's not losing sleep over it, is it?
No. They're working. They're trying to lengthen Budo.
Lengthen Budo.
Yes.
All right. So. What was the results of that poll there, Fleegs?
72.7% for hell no, 27.3% for why not, 5,746 votes.
Okay. Yeah, so I was a hell no guy.
So was I.
Yeah, there you go. See, me and Fleegs are, we see the things the same way. Now, Fleegs, the hardcore Met fan that you are, you want them to try to win, right? I mean, now if they're in the mix. They are right there. And as we have seen in baseball, anything can happen.
Thanks, Stugatz.
Yes, you're welcome. I've been reading all the box scores.
Yeah.
But anyway, why not the Mets? Why not with Jesse Winker?
I want them to try to go for it within reason. Like, I don't want to trade big prospects
Jesse
for
Winker
rentals.
Winker is within reason.
Good move because you didn't give up a lot for him. And I would give up the big prospects if you're telling me they're getting a Scuba or a Crochet, guys who are here this year and beyond.
And they have
not
control,
for the rentals.
Some sort of control.
Yes. I'd rather give up a little bit more for the guys who I'll have for 2 or 3 years or even more than that, than the guys for just 2 months.
You know, that's a reasonable, pragmatic take on things. And that's what I'm saying. Same thing. You know, and I think we see things. And look, we need Pete Alonso to show up. We need him to carry this team for a month. He hasn't really done that yet. And he's capable of doing that. Imagine what that would be like if that actually comes to pass.
His last 2 nights worth of at-bats have been very encouraging.
Yes.
You want to really do some sports talk?
All right, let's break it down. What's the sports talk you want to do?
You ready?
Yeah.
Man. Best trade deadline acquisitions in Mets history.
Oh, God. Mike Piazza.
Not really a trade deadline acquisition.
It was not
a
trade deadline. It happened in May, didn't it? Yoannis Cespedes.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be in there.
That was a mistake, by the way.
I know. It was not
best of my lifetime is Cespedes.
Yeah.
I mean, the old-timers will tell you Don Clendenin.
Don Clendenin, obviously. But that led to a championship, whereas Cespedes led to an NLCS, World Series.
Yeah. And there's another big one missing. I would think anybody could get it. I would think it jumped to the front of Boomer's mind.
Gary Carter?
No. It's earlier. Who was it? Come on, Fleeks, just tell me.
Keith
Hernandez.
Right.
No.
Yep.
And he ended up staying. which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think of horrible ones all the time, like Victor Zambrano. And how about in 2000? Remember who the Mets got in the trade deadline? 2000, hit a home run in his first at-bat at Shea Stadium.
Mike Bordick.
Nailed it. Mike Bordick.
Because Ray Ordonez got hurt. They gave Melvin Mora in that deal.
Yep, that's right. Man, to the Orioles.
God, my head is spinning.
Told you.
Yes.
You want to get into some sports talk?
Not really, no.
No, you did.
I know.
You did before, and then I would dove deep into the sports talk pool, and now you want a life preserver.
I almost had a stroke.
Yes, what happens? Once you get me activated into Mets history, you never know where I'm going
to
go.
I know. You're amazing. You're like Evan when it comes to this stuff.
No,
you guys could have a conversation back and forth.
Well, we did back in the day.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah, but I mean, he's nutso now. I'm not nutso like that anymore. You know?
Well, it's nutso to even think that Scherzer coming back to the Mets.
Yeah, it was crazy. That was absolutely crazy. Yeah, I'm trying to think of another really bad one. They got somebody else in that deadline, too, with Zambrana. Was that 2003?
Chris Benson.
Chris Benson. Yeah, and Anna Benson.
Chris Benson
from the Pirates.
That was 2004 when they were not in the race, but they thought they were.
Right. And Rick Peterson, I could fix him in 15 minutes.
And I think Jim Duquette has been telling everybody for 20 years that the Wilpons forced his hand there. He did not want to be responsible for those deals.
Yeah. It's not like Kazmir turned out to be the superstar that we all expected him to be, but still.
Well, that's the thing. Like I always say, if you got a chance and you don't know if a guy can make it, then what isn't the object to try to win now? Like in the moment?
It is, but when you're a team that has struggled with farm system and developing your own talent, plus we just talked about this recently, the teams that have won World Series in most recent memory, it's a lot of their own guys,
controllable players, yeah,
right.
I mean, the Mets
are
right
drafted, but developed, signed,
and the Mets are. They have Vientos, they have Francisco, they got Alvarez, they got Nimmo, they have Pete Alonso. These are all their own guys,
right?
By the way,
yeah, no, I understand, and that's what they want to do that again, and they want to have more of those guys,
and maybe when Senga comes back,
oh God, when 2026.
Who knows? I don't know how bad
he's done.
He's done for the year?
Yeah, that's what everybody. That's what all the evaluation.
That's the regular season, but what about the playoffs?
He's done. It's over.
You think he could pitch a game 7 in the World Series?
No. Why would you want him to?
Why wouldn't you?
Because he hasn't pitched all year.
Everybody needs arms.
Come on.
And do you want me to save you guys quickly from getting a billion tweets about this?
Because
Tom Seaver, technically a deadline deal when they got rid of him. Callers are already not happy that we left that off, even though we were thinking in different contexts.
Best trades.
You said worst quickly. You mentioned Kazmir Zambrano.
All right, okay.
Even though, you weren't, I told the first, you weren't actually talking about it in that context, but got a feeling you were going to get a billion tweets about that.
You know, it's like when the Rangers traded Eddie Jockman. You know, same thing.
I love pissing off the fans.
Yeah, everybody just calm down. Relax, will you please? We're in the summer. It's a nice day outside. Don't get all ticked off. Get it?
Yeah. Chill out.
Jazz Jism.
Yeah, we're worried about the trade deadline today. That's what we're worried about.
That's right. Do you have reads for us there, Fleegs? Why don't we do that? It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. On this Tuesday trade deadline day, we'll get Jerry in here and give you another update. It is Boomer and Geo. Of course, here we go.
Non-stop.
All
right. Okay, great. Whatever. Fine. Don't lose any sleep over it, folks.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo, along with Jerry Recco on The Fan.
I'm Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Does the architect talk to the fill-ins in the control room?
I think he blew right by them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They're just not. They're.
Oh, he just stopped.
Oh, he did. Because I said something.
He just stopped and said hello.
Because I said something. You know, he'll spend a lot of time with Al and Eddie, but when there's fill-ins there, he just
He said hello on the way in before he came to you guys.
But just hello, right? Not like, how are you doing? Can I do anything
he
for you?
He doesn't really care about you guys.
It was a quick hello. He really doesn't.
How many t-shirts do you think he owns?
How many what?
T-shirts.
He, you know what he likes? A Henley.
He likes a Henley, yes.
He loves himself a Henley.
Yes.
A long sleeve, three-buttoned Henley.
I think he just had enough. He just walked away.
Yeah, the architect loves the Henley. The brand ambassador loves the Untuckit.
He loves an Untuckit. Mm. He does.
He does.
But I think he looks good in the Untuckit. I think that's his style. If he did anything else, it would be odd. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't Brad Richards an Untuckit guy back
in
the day?
He was, yeah. I think he might be a partner in the company, I think.
Mm, okay.
Oh, I think. But he was one of the original endorsers of that company.
I remember that.
Yes.
All right, Jerry, do we have any trades? No?
No.
All right.
Not that I've seen yet,
no. We'll see you next hour.
Okay.
No, we're just kidding.
Come on. I don't know. It's fine by me.
No. We want to hear what happened.
Okay. Yeah. We're brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. I'll start with some football this hour. I'm going to change it up. We know about the baseball. We'll get to that in a second because we got a couple of things here of note. Number one, we know about Aaron Rodgers being upset yesterday at training camp. That having been said, into year two, hopefully he actually plays this year. This was DJ Reed in terms of the way the team looks just a couple of days in after OTAs as we are getting set now for August.
The offense feels like night and day compared to, you know, my previous years here. Even last year, you know, it felt like when we started, it was a little slow, even in training camp. It's like right now, on defense and offense, everybody's clicking.
Yeah, I thought that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, so
and
they're
it's different
now. They're really humming. Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's actually a clip that's different than last year. Here was Alan Lazard, how tough it was last year after Rodgers went down, now that you look back.
Playing alongside him the past four seasons and stuff, and then trying to figure out how I can still remain successful and bringing the team you know, being my best self out there for the team and everything. There's a lot of challenges and stuff.
We knew there were a lot of challenges. I mean, listen, for sure.
The biggest problem for them is Hassan Reddick and his contract demands and his holdout. That's the biggest thing they're dealing with now. And Hassan Reddick, as I was reading this morning, you know, is obviously fines are starting to build
pile up.
Yes. That's the one thing that they have right now that they have to deal with.
Why wouldn't they have known? I mean, I'm sure they did know this when they got him.
There was some reporting around it that it happened after the trade was made. Like they had gotten some assurances from the agent that he wasn't going to be seeking the new contract, and all of a sudden the trade was made and that got changed. So I don't think Joe Douglas, because on paper or first glance, it looks like he was foolish and not figuring that out. But I do think those conversations were had and then the opinions changed.
You know, the only thing that I would tick me off if I were Joe Douglas is that Howie Roseman made the trade with me, and I would think that Joe Douglas would have said to Howie, look, does he want a new contract? Because when I'm not looking to bring a guy in here that wants a new contract, I'd like to bring a guy in here that wants to play for a new contract.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the incentive that I would want to have him here for. And I know he's a good player, and I think he'd be a great fit for our defense, and our coaches want him, but I got to make sure that we're not going to have a holdout situation on our hands.
But why, if you're the Jets, you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've got already a very good defense, why would you cave for a guy that hasn't played it down for you?
You shouldn't. But I also understand the player's perspective. I mean, I understand Hassan's perspective. Like I always tell you guys, I'll always fall on the sword for the NFL football player, just simply because of the amount of games they play, the lack of guaranteed money. Now, his contract would be guaranteed for this year, the one-year deal. He wants more money up front, and he wants a longer deal, and I don't blame him.
Speaking of deals, how's it going in Los Angeles, where the Cowboys are holding their training camp? This is a long clip. This is Jerry Jones, I believe, yesterday.
He talks a lot.
He does talk a lot.
God.
Asked about Dak, now that Jordan Love got his big money. It's a 30-second clip, because there's a question in the middle of it, too.
I get in trouble every time I make comparisons. Okay? I do get in trouble. And, of course, we saw a head-to-head match in with Green Bay last year. We've all got that burr in our saddles. I'm anxious for Dak to get a chance to show he's the best with the Cowboy star.
Okay.
And you think he can do that without a new deal?
Oh, yes.
What gives you that confidence?
Yes, but don't, that might imply that we're not going to do a new deal, and that's just not the case.
Well, no, then do the deal already. He keeps double-talking in all these. You notice that?
It's got to be really frustrating for Dak and his agent and everything else. But, he basically said that he wasn't going to give him a new deal and then said it doesn't mean that I'm not going to give him a new deal.
They're dealing with Stephen Jones anyway. You know, Stephen's the one that's running the franchise. Jerry's the guy that now is the face of the franchise, the voice of the franchise. But Stephen's the one behind the scenes doing the deals. And, you know, he's probably telling his dad, hey, we're close, but, you know, we don't want to give him $65 million a year. We'd like to keep it around $52 to $56 million a year, somewhere in there.
God. On ESPN.
It's the reality of the sport.
Yeah, man. I'm aware.
Believe me, I'd be on a yacht off of the coast of Monaco. My career were over and I was making $500 million.
I know.
Knowing you, though, you'd be one of those guys that made all that money and you'd still be working somehow. You know,
on my golf game is what
I was
going to
say. Your golf game in the foundation, that's what how you would spend your time.
And I wouldn't have to do all the public stuff that I have to do for the foundation. I could just do a private foundation.
True, that is true. On ESPN, Marcus Spears was trying to compare Jerry Jones' comments to dating. Like, you know, there's give and take with dating. Sometimes others make plans. You don't really love them, but you've got to do certain things.
Then we get to the restaurant or we get on a date and you like, man, I hate it here.
Yeah.
Right? But you like the person, but you hate what they set up just now.
Yeah.
That's what Jerry just did.
Yeah.
He left it for interpretation. So now the whole conversation is going to be, Jerry don't think that Dak is better than Joy Love.
Yeah.
And even if Jerry felt that, lie. Live because Dak plays quarterback for your team.
I didn't necessarily get that sense, but
well, I mean, he did say, you know, we just saw the two of them against one another.
That's true.
And our guy
lost.
That's
a fact, but that's also a fact. And they got their ass kicked. And Jordan Love got paid because of that game, probably, and then the way he played against San Francisco.
Yeah,
following.
You know, you have a body of work by Dak Prescott that's really, really impressive. I mean, the numbers during the regular season are great, and he is the face of the franchise, never embarrasses the franchise, is everything that a franchise quarterback should be, lives up to everything that they ask him to do. And yeah, okay, so he's lost a couple playoff games, but you have no alternative. There is no alternative.
I don't want an alternative. I love the guy.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They have to pay him, and they will. His contract will be done before the season starts.
You ever wonder what the stars think about the stars?
Yeah.
So we take you to Latrobe, Pennsylvania, where...
Arnold Palmer, right?
Yes, that's also where the Steelers hold their training camp.
Yep.
Smokey Robinson
showed up.
Yes, he did. This was on NFL Network.
I got a chance to have a dream come true today because I got a chance to meet Mike Tomlin in person. So I'm very happy.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Smokey Robinson, that is neat.
And the Steelers are one of the last teams, they may be the last team left that has their guys in dorm rooms still.
Do they really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes, how about that is right. St. Vincent College.
I remember when the Giants were in Albany, it was like that. But now that they're
at
their own place.
I mean, the Jets don't do that. Nobody does it.
Nope. Here was T.J. Watt, also on ESPN. So how does Mike Tomlin keep things together year after year after year after year?
It's a new message every year. It's the same tone. I mean, as soon as Mike T walks in the room, he commands the room. And everybody in that room has respect. Everybody should be able to experience a team meeting from Mike T. He's got so many sayings.
But it was Antonio Brown, right, that was doing those Instagram lives when you heard him in the background addressing the team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't great.
He's had some strange cats.
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben. Yeah.
But no, for real.
For real.
I'm telling you.
John Elway, a guest on Pardon My Take, as he was looking back on some of the draft picks he has made and, well, didn't make.
How did you not get Josh Allen? I feel like he is exactly your type.
I know, he is. And the one that last year I played with him. And I'm wondering, how long is it going to take him to realize that I passed on him and took Bradley and Chubb instead?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it took him 2.5 holes to bring it up. And I loved him, right?
Yeah. But
it just,
he was your type.
That's the one. My type. Yeah. You're right. That was probably my biggest mistake of my GM days, was not taking Josh.
There you go. Answering the question I'm sure many in Denver probably had or at least have had since then. And then finally from football, Good Morning Football is back in their L.A. home now. Or I shouldn't say back. They're back, but now when they're LA home. Here was Jamie Erdahl. Now, she's been a sideline reporter. We know this. She's got advice for them this season.
Part of the sideline reporter pact, please don't say, tell me about.
Okay, there it is. Tell me about.
I don't care if it's Bubba Ventrone. I don't care if it's special team. I don't care who you're getting.
How about talk about?
URB. Talk about it. I like Kyle's talk about it. Coach, tell me about. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. You cannot start tell me about and then end it with a question. It's physically impossible. It's grammatically incorrect.
Okay. So we'll see if how about that?
Laying it down.
And I read they're going to be doing not just the end of half interviews. Did I see this right? They're going to have some in-game interviews now as well.
What baseball's doing and obviously CBS broke out with the PGA Tour. You know, the walk and talk.
That was
a great idea by
CBS. Walk and talk is very neat. Yes. I do enjoy that. And I like the players mic'd up in baseball because they're standing there for a lot of the time. Football seems a little odd to me. Maybe just on the sideline.
Do you think they're going to go up to a head coach right in the middle of a game?
I don't know.
Is being played?
No, I didn't say just coaches. I don't know if that means they might mic up a player on the sideline.
They do that in preseason. We see that in preseason. They'll do an interview during the game on the sideline with a player who's no longer going to go back in and play.
You can't talk to these guys during the game. You can't.
I know the NFL wants people to be connected to their fans, or players to be connected to the fans, and the coaches to be connected to the fans.
I feel pretty connected. Right. I mean, how many more people can watch it?
I don't know.
You know what I did? I think I made a mistake yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Why?
I accepted my first invite to a fantasy football league in 4 years. I needed, to get away from that, and now I'm back in.
Why? Evans League or?
No. Now, it was a league with a bunch of golf buddies, and the way they pitched it to me was like, hey, we have the draft, and we play golf, and then we have a party at the end, and we play golf. I was like, it sounds great.
We go to the Portland Villager.
Yeah, we play golf.
Yeah, we play golf.
So I was like, okay, fine. But, I mean, I it's one of those things, you know me, I get obsessed with certain things, and that's one of those things I get obsessed with, and it's just not healthy.
Mm.
It's not healthy. And I divorced myself from it a few years ago, and it was great. It's great for me.
And they pulled you back in.
Yeah, with this league that sounds like it's a lot of fun.
Well, you have a good time then.
But I can't have fun.
Oh.
How many guys are in it?
Enough. I don't know.
10, 12?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
We know of one.
Geo. Yeah.
I'm back in.
What's back your team in. Name?
I don't have one yet.
Geo's Giants?
No. What? No.
Six-year-old league?
Worst name ever.
Yankees beat the Phillies 14-4. The balls were flying out the park.
Chisholm hits it in the air to deep left. Back to the wall goes Hayes. Up against the wall, leaps. And that ball is gone. Jazz Chisholm right in the front row. Oh, how about that? Smooth Jazz. His first one as a Yankee and number 14 on the season.
And he would add.
Jazz Chisholm.
He would add another one. Yankees would beat up the Phils by 10, 14-4, as I mentioned. That was Ricky Ricardo on the fan.
Three in a row now.
Yep, three in a row. Now, for his second home run, a little special, as we found out on the postgame show, Aaron Judge with Meredith on Yes.
The second home run, Aaron, he used your bat. How did that all come about?
He kind of yelled at me when I was over here saying, hey, you mind? And I said, hey, you go ahead. Just make sure you use it. And he definitely did. So
he did. Here was Jazz's reaction to using the bat.
Definitely not going to use that again tomorrow. That bat was so heavy, but I was just like, I don't think I ever got a hit against a position player until tonight. And I was like, you know what, Cap? I'm either going to go up there right-handed, or I'm going to go use your bat. He's like, go ahead, use my bat.
And so he did, and he hit the home run.
Wow. Jazz Chisholm.
Now, as far as Chisholm, he is happy to be contributing.
I mean, it's super exciting. I mean, who doesn't want to come over and help a playoff contending team win? You know, these guys have been welcoming me with open arms.
And he's been playing well, played third base last night and played it quite well, actually.
Because Gleyber Torres didn't want to.
Sure, I almost got taken by an AI.
Oh, really?
Yes. Again, one of these where I swear to God, they made the mouth moving look like it was matching the words, and then I realized about 20 seconds in when he said, screw the Yankees. I'm like, this is not real.
Definitely not.
But it was very, very...
Was it a Gleyber Torres one?
Yeah.
Okay.
About wanting him to move to third base, and he wouldn't do it, and I don't know what these guys think, and I was like, oh my gosh, it wasn't them.
Chaz Chisholm.
Right, I was talking about Gleyber Torres. Garrett Cole, Aaron Nola, go tonight. We'll have it on the Fan with coverage at 6:40. As
Chisholm.
You got to work on your timing just a little bit. But I love the effort. Such an ass. As for the Mets and Twins.
The 1-0. Hit high in the air to left. This one's going deep as well. Oh. Down the line and gone. Second deck. Pete Alonso to the Coors Light skyline.
And that kind of opened the floodgates for the Mets, made it 1-1, and they would score 15 runs and beat the Twins 15-2. Keith Rad on WCBS 880. They had every player in their lineup have at least one hit. How about the 6 runs in the 4th, 5 more in the 6th, and then 4 more runs in the 7th. Pretty damn impressive. Francisco Lindor, a couple of hits and a walk. Jose Quintana was good, allowed 1 run over 6. You've got Sean Manaea tonight, first pitch in WCBS 880 at 7:10. And then lastly, from the Olympics, the U.S. women's basketball team smashed Japan 102-76. But before the game, you had Dawn Staley talking about the roster, because this is still a thing. And she was asked about how and why Caitlin Clark did not make it. And I'll just give you 15 seconds of this.
As a committee member, you're charged with putting together best team of players, the best talent. Caitlin is just a rookie in the WNBA. Wasn't playing bad, but wasn't playing like she's playing now. If we had to do it all over again, the way that she's playing, she would be in really high consideration of making the team, because she is playing head and shoulders above a lot of people, shooting the ball extremely well.
So,
wow. Yeah, so this is the stuff that we talked about when that whole thing went down. And that's exactly what was said. She was playing good, but she wasn't playing up to where she is now. So it was just a matter of timing, and it didn't work out for Caitlin, and it's unfortunate. But there was no nefarious leaving her off because, you know, she's white and straight. Wasn't that? I mean, it just wasn't that she had not established herself yet like she has now.
I didn't know you were going to go there.
But that was,
good enough.
That's, you know, not this is enough. What happens. People make these stupid statements and they believe them, and everybody thinks they're out to get Caitlin Clark. No, I mean, she had to earn the right, and they played her tough. There's no question about
earn
that.
Earn the right.
That's right. She had to earn the right. And at that point, she wasn't playing, like Dawn said. And I believe Dawn.
Well, she's playing like that now.
Yeah,
as
she
we
is.
Now know.
100%. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Also, White and Straight. Jerry Recco. Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Jet center Joe Tippmann had a rough day yesterday. He was struggling with shotgun snaps.
There's nothing worse.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh, God.
That's why I'm bringing it up to you, because I don't have that experience, obviously, being a quarterback and playing with a center who's struggling with snaps, but I figured you'd have an opinion on that.
Yeah, all of these centers now, and we're not talking about long snapping now. We're talking about real centers.
Right.
They do all the shotguns in college and in high school. Everybody's doing the shotgun.
Yeah.
It should be second nature for them to be able to do it.
Right.
And there's nothing worse as a quarterback not knowing where the center is going to be sending that snap.
Right, because you got all these other things to process in that moment when you're getting the football.
Right. So, but it's not like the center doesn't have things to process. Well, he does too. So everybody has issues. And sometimes, you'll get, and I'll never forget, we're playing Joe Klecko. So, you got your center, Klecko's on an angle, and you're going to have to step to go over and get him, mm-hmm. and you don't want to go too far because you're afraid he's going to come flying around you the other way. So the center is thinking, okay, I got to get over there, but I got to snap the ball. The quarterback wants the ball right at his chest every time, just like the wide receiver does. But the wide receiver doesn't realize sometimes that the quarterback's not playing in a phone booth. That there are people's arms, legs, hands all over you while you're trying to throw the ball. The same thing that can be said for the center.
Yeah.
But it is annoying from the quarterback perspective. Just get the goddamn ball to me.
So you don't think it can be like a yips thing? You think it's more of a, man, I got to block this guy. I'm worried about it. I'm rushing through it.
Yeah. And, you just got to relax. And he's thinking probably a million things.
And also when you got Aaron Rodgers back there, it's a little bit different too, because you want to perform. There's definitely, without a doubt, a guy could lift your performance when it's Aaron Rodgers, but I also think it could make you more nervous too.
True. So let's say there's 65 snaps in a game, maybe a few more, maybe a few less, depending on how well your offense is playing and how well your defense is playing. And let's say 35 of those are going to be passes. So you would think maybe 32 out of 35 are going to be perfect, and then there's going to be three where you got to reach down.
Yeah, over your head.
Right. Something like that's going to happen. I mean, that's just part of the game, and you just got to deal with it. But the thing about football, it is a game of failure more than it is a game of success, and there's a lot of things that go on during the game. And every single position has its issues.
Oh, yeah.
Every single position. And when you play that position, you try to be somewhat sympathetic or empathetic towards a player who's dealing with maybe a tough matchup for that game.
Yeah. And by the way, did you see Sauce Gardner? Have you been paying attention to his golf journey in the offseason? He hasn't posted something in a while because, of course, he's got training camp now.
Yeah.
But he actually put out there that golf is harder than football. He wrote that. I mean, I can understand why he's saying that.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure that football came a little more naturally to him.
Hey, for us, you, me, him included, plumbing is harder than football.
No, right.
We have no idea what the hell we're doing when it comes to plumbing.
No.
How about electricity, electrical engineering?
No, I mean, I thought I did when I fixed something on the boat the other day, and then it broke again, and I couldn't fix it.
It's pretty much everything that we as athletes do outside of playing the sport that we love so much is more difficult than the sport that we play.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But I mean, to play like a corner in the NFL and to be one of the best at it, it takes extreme skill.
Yeah, so he is the Bryson DeChambeau of cornerbacks.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Can Bryson DeChambeau play actual cornerback? I don't think so.
No, he couldn't.
No.
He couldn't. So you think you don't think that was like, that's a silly statement in your mind?
Yeah, it doesn't shock me.
Yeah,
that he's saying that.
But he's hooked. He's got the bug worse than I got the bug, I think.
And just, I want him to pay attention to doing what he's doing right here as we're watching him.
Yeah,
just keep doing it and becoming great. Become great on the football field first before anything else.
He is great.
Well,
he's already great.
I want to see him continue to be great. There's Darrell Revis.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
I want, he may think of himself in that category, but he's got a long way to go before we can sit here and say that.
One of those guys is going to be chirping for contracts at the end of this year.
Yeah, they're all going
to be right at the end of three. Like,
and be, let me just tell you something. Every single player in the league sees what's going on. Oh, every yeah. single player.
I mean, look at Tua. I mean, he talked about it openly before he got the contract and was yelling and screaming, show me the money after the contract. I mean, he knows. Yeah. Of course. All these guys do.
Yeah, it's amazing because all the players, when you're playing, you know, you're supposed to leapfrog the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dak Prescott is in a situation with the Dallas Cowboys. Had they signed him, let's say 2 months ago, they probably could have saved himself some money. Because now he's going to be using those contracts that these guys are signing, and they're going to be putting his numbers up against their numbers.
Yeah.
And Tua would be the guy that I would use.
Oh, for sure.
Because Tua hasn't won a playoff game.
No. I mean, and also Tua essentially really had just one great season, and that was last year, and then they ended up losing in the playoffs early on in that frigid game in Kansas City.
Yeah, there's, you know, the Cowboys are in a, they're backed into a corner with their three best players, and they
all want to get draft paid. Well, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, the Jets are going to have an issue with that. I mean, both with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner coming up at the same time.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
Good problem to have, I suppose.
But maybe by that time, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not here anymore, and they start over with another quarterback that they draft.
But he's not even making that much money, Aaron Rodgers.
He's taking less money to come right. here.
It's true. I mean, you do wait. Man, that's going to be a... I'm sure Joe Douglas has thought a lot about that. You know, if Aaron Rodgers stays that extra year, when those guys get paid, how do I keep both of them?
What do you think the Hassan Reddick situation, does it impact the Davante Adams potential trade?
I think it has to.
Man, if they got Davante Adams, that would be unbelievable.
Stu Gatz invited Diana Russini in here, and she was... because they have a long history together. And,
okay.
And Diana's does all that good reporting on the Jets. She seemed to believe that the Davante Adams of the Jets stuff was like there wasn't really a lot of traction there. A lot of bark, no bite with that.
No, we'll see.
So I was sort of disappointed to hear that because I want that trade to happen so bad.
We all want that trade.
God, that would be amazing.
I mean, the Raiders should want that trade.
But what are the Jets sending back?
I don't know. I mean, that's obviously... If the Raiders are legitimately trying to trade, the other place, if I were Davante, where I would want to go would be San Francisco. I'd want to go play for the Niners, and maybe they swap wide receivers. Maybe Brandon Ayuk goes to the Raiders. Raiders give him a new contract because he's a young stud and he's part of a rebuild. And you allow your Hall of Fame wide receiver to have a legitimate shot at winning a Super Bowl.
Right. Out of the conference.
And plus his, you know, the contract... You know, could be reworked. I don't know if San Francisco can make it work, especially if they have to give Brock Purdy a new contract.
Yeah, I mean that's
they have to.
Well, I feel like every year everybody's got like a new contract. Is anybody just under contract? I guess Patrick Mahomes, he's under contract.
Yeah, but they're gonna have to give him a new one too.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, are you kidding me? The best player in the NFL is now like the 10th highest paid player in the league.
Yeah, it's silly.
I mean, I know he signed a 10-year deal and they bought out some of his years, but all this other stuff, and they paid him, and it was great that they did that early on. But now it's time to redo it again.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Jet center Joe Tippmann had a rough day yesterday. He was struggling with shotgun snaps.
There's nothing worse.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh, God.
That's why I'm bringing it up to you, because I don't have that experience, obviously, being a quarterback and playing with a center who's struggling with snaps, but I figured you'd have an opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, all of these centers now, and we're not talking about long snapping now. We're talking about real centers.
Right.
They do all the shotguns in college and in high school. Everybody's doing the shotgun.
Yeah.
It should be second nature for them to be able to do it.
Right.
And there's nothing worse as a quarterback not knowing where the center is going to be sending that snap.
Right, because you got all these other things to process in that moment when you're getting the football.
Right, but it's not like the center doesn't have things to process. Well, he does too. So everybody has issues. And sometimes, you know, you'll get, and I'll never forget, we're playing Joe Klecko. So, you know, you got your center, Klecko's on an angle, and you know you're going to have to step to go over and get him, mm-hmm. and you don't want to go too far because you're afraid he's going to come flying around you the other way. So the last the center is thinking, okay, I got to get over there, but I got to snap the ball. The quarterback wants the ball right at his chest every time, just like the wide receiver does. But the wide receiver doesn't realize sometimes that the quarterback's not playing in a phone booth, that there are people's arms, legs, hands all over you while you're trying to throw the ball. The same thing this can be said for the center.
Yeah.
But it is annoying from the quarterback perspective. Just get the goddamn ball to me.
So you don't think it could be like a yips thing? You think it's more of a, man, I got to block this guy. I'm worried about it. I'm rushing through it.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got to relax. And he's thinking probably a million things.
And then also when you got Aaron Rodgers back there, it's a little bit different, too, because you want to perform. There's definitely, without a doubt, like a guy could lift your performance when it's Aaron Rodgers, but I also think it could make you more nervous, too.
True. So let's say there's 65 snaps in a game, maybe a few more, maybe a few less, depending on how well your offense is playing and how well your defense is playing. You know, and let's say 35 of those are going to be passes. So you would think maybe 32 out of 35 are going to be perfect, and then there's going to be three where you got to reach down.
Yeah, yeah, over your head.
You know, something like that's going to happen. I mean, that's just part of the game, and you just got to deal with it. But the thing about football, it is a game of failure more than it is a game of success. And there's a lot of things that go on during the game. And every single position has its issues.
Oh, yeah.
Every single position. And when you play that position, you try to be somewhat sympathetic or empathetic towards a player who's dealing with maybe a tough matchup for that game.
Yeah. And by the way, did you see Sauce Gardner? Have you been paying attention to his golf journey in the offseason? He hasn't posted something in a while because, of course, he's got training camp now.
Yeah.
But he actually put out there that golf is harder than football. He wrote that. I mean, I can understand why he's saying that.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure that football came a little more naturally to him.
Hey, for us, you, me, him included, plumbing is harder than football.
No, right.
We have no idea what the hell we're doing when it comes to plumbing.
No.
How about electricity, electrical engineering?
No, I mean, I thought I did when I fixed something on the boat the other day, and then it broke again, and I couldn't fix it.
It's pretty much everything that we as athletes do outside of playing the sport that we love so much is more difficult than the sport that we play.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But I mean, to play like a corner in the NFL and to be one of the best at it, you know, it takes extreme skill.
Yeah, so he is the Bryson DeChambeau of cornerbacks.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Can Bryson DeChambeau play actual cornerback? I don't think so.
No, he couldn't.
No.
He couldn't. So you think you don't think that was like that's a silly statement in your mind?
Yeah, it doesn't shock me.
Yeah,
that he's saying that.
But he's hooked. He's got the bug worse than I got the bug, I think.
And just I want him to pay attention to doing what he's doing right here as we're watching him.
Yeah,
just keep doing it and becoming great. Become great on the football field first before great, anything else.
He is great.
Well,
he's already great.
I want to see him continue to be great. You know, there's Darrell Revis.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
He may think of himself in that category, but he's got a long way to go before we can sit here and say that.
One of those guys going to be chirping for contracts at the end of this year?
Yeah, they're all going
to be right at the end of three.
Let me just tell you something. Every single player in the league sees what's going on. Oh, yeah. Every single player.
I mean, look at Tua. I mean, he talked about it openly before he got the contract and was yelling and screaming, show me the money after the contract. I mean, he knows, of course. All these guys do.
Yeah, I it's amazing because all the players, when you're playing, you know, you're supposed to leapfrog the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dak Prescott is in a situation with the Dallas Cowboys. Had they signed him, let's say 2 months ago, they probably could have saved himself some money. Because now he's going to be using those contracts that these guys are signing, and they're going to be putting his numbers up against their numbers.
Yeah.
And Tua would be the guy that I would use.
Oh, for sure.
Because Tua hasn't won a playoff game.
No. I mean, and also Tua essentially really had just one great season, and that was last year, and then they ended up losing in the playoffs early on in that frigid game in Kansas City.
Yeah, there's, you know, the Cowboys are in a they're backed into a corner with their three best players, and they
that's what happens when you draft paid. Well, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, the Jets are going to have an issue with that. I mean, both with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner coming up at the same time.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
Good problem to have, I suppose.
But maybe by that time, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not here anymore, and they start over with another quarterback that they draft.
But he's not even making that much money, Aaron Rodgers.
He's taking less money to square. Right.
It's true. I mean, you do wait. Man, that's going to be a... I'm sure Joe Douglas has thought a lot about that. You know, if Aaron Rodgers stays that extra year, when those guys get paid, how do I keep both of them?
What do you think the Hassan Reddick situation, does it impact the Davante Adams potential trade?
I think it has to.
I mean, if they got Davante Adams, that would be unbelievable.
Stu Gatz invited Diana Russini in here, and she was... because they have a long history together. And,
okay.
And Diana's does all that good reporting on the Jets. She seemed to believe that the Davante Adams of the Jets stuff was like there wasn't really a lot of traction there. A lot of bark, no bite with that.
Now we'll see.
So I was sort of disappointed to hear that. Because I want that trade to happen so bad.
We all want that trade.
God, that would be amazing.
I mean, the Raiders should want that trade.
But what are the Jets sending back?
I don't know. I mean, that's obviously... If the Raiders are legitimately trying to trade, the other place, if I were Davante, where I would want to go would be San Francisco. I'd want to go play for the Niners, and maybe they swap wide receivers. Maybe Brandon Ayuk goes to the Raiders. Raiders give him a new contract because he's a young stud and he's part of a rebuild. And you allow your Hall of Fame wide receiver to have a legitimate shot at winning a Super Bowl.
Right. Out of the conference.
And plus his, you know, the contract... You know, could be reworked. I don't know if San Francisco can make it work, especially if they have to give Brock Purdy a new contract.
Yeah, I mean that's
they have to.
Well, I feel like every year everybody's got like a new contract. Is anybody just under contract? I guess Patrick Mahomes, he's under contract.
Yeah, but they're gonna have to give him a new one too.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, are you kidding me? The best player in the NFL is now like the 10th highest paid player in the league.
Yeah, it's silly.
I mean, I know he signed a 10-year deal and they bought out some of his years, but all this other stuff, and they paid him, and it was great that they did that early on. But now it's time to redo it again.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.